And welcome to a new podcast. And this is a special one because I'm talking in English and there is no Vincent in this room. There's someone else sitting in front of me. I'm sitting between scarves and hats and all kind of knitting works. And today I'm talking with the owner of a knitting shop, and maybe you would like to introduce yourself.
Hello. My name is Susanna Holm, and I'm the owner of the shop. It's called Kvivik Knit, and Kvivik is the name of the village we are in. And I am almost 67 years old, and I have been working all my life as an educator or a pedagogue, and also I have a master degree in MA in history of ideas.
Yes.
So I have been working and now I have this is my retirement project. I opened it last year, and I am a mother of four and a grandmother of seven kids. And my kids are almost, one is living in Denmark and one, or the other ones, in the Faroe Islands.
Yeah. And you lived on the Faroe Islands your whole life, right?
Yeah. I have been studying in Denmark.
Yeah.
But moved to Faroes again.
Yeah.
And I love to live here.
Yeah, you love it?
Yeah.
Why?
It is, I think it is the way of living. It is the nature. And it is the changing of the weather, and you really feel that nature's rules here. You don't rule over nature. The nature is always telling you. Also, maybe you prepare to go somewhere, but you have to have a second opinion also to, maybe plan something else if the weather is bad.
Yeah.
What can we do instead, or something like that?
I think we can learn something about that in the Netherlands.
Yes.
Because it's, I've been here for a few days now, and everyone I met who is from the Faroe Islands tells me the nature rules here.
Yeah.
And I think that's a really beautiful thing and a beautiful way of living, actually.
Yeah. And it is I think it is a way of slow living.
Yeah.
It is a way of slow living, but we keep, I think, mostly our old culture with us. And we also say yes to new technical things that we can use, because we are so, we are out in the middle of the Atlantic Ocean.
Yeah,
it's far away from everything else.
Yeah, you have to do it with, what is in your reach, actually.
Yes. And I can remember when I was a kid, I felt that we were very long away from everything else. And everything else is Denmark for us, because that is the place we mainly go to for studying.
Yeah.
So... but after we get, mobiles and internet and everything, it is, you don't feel that anymore.
No.
It's not the same anymore.
So that's a big change in your own growing up.
It is a big change, yes.
Yeah.
It has changed a lot for us, yes. I think that, yes.
And nowadays, are the Faroes on the same level with other countries?
I think it is. We are in the Kingdom of Denmark with Greenland and Faroes and Denmark, and of course we can't make everything here. So if it is something, we get sick or we have cancer or have diseases, we have maybe have to go to Denmark to get treatment there. But everything is fine. We pay tax to the government here, and we have home rule. We have our own government, Faroese government. So we have what you call, we call it heimastýri. It's home, it is what you call it, original government.
Yeah.
Yes, but yeah. We pay tax.
Yeah.
The foreign politics is Danish. The police is Danish. The court is Danish. But everything else is Faroese.
It's from the
Yeah. And when we have to make agreements with other countries about fishing agreements, we have to have a Danish representative with us.
Can't do it
we
alone.
We can't do foreign politics
no.
by our own.
And
but still we do it a bit.
I don't know if you want to talk about this in the podcast, but you told me, because maybe for you guys, I had a crochet lesson 2 days ago with Susanna, and that was really interesting. I learned a lot, but we were also talking, and you told me a lot about politics and your interest about that. She was also really aware of the politics in the Netherlands, and also about the European elections on the 6th of June. And you told me that it's no option for the Faroe to join the EU because of the fishing.
Yes.
Yeah.
The fishing borders.
Yeah.
We have 200 sea miles fishing border, and if we were in Europe, in the EU.
Yeah.
Fishermen from, or trawlers from Germany, from Spain, from Portugal would fish here.
Yeah.
And that's not an option because our main income is from fish.
Yeah.
So we have to keep what we have. Even though that we have 70,000 sheep here, we don't export any sheep. We import sheep from Iceland every year because we eat a lot of sheep.
Yeah.
So the sheep here go for families. It is private.
Yeah.
There are no sheep meat in the local malls.
It's for your own.
Yes, providing. It's for the own whole family. You buy it maybe from
a farmer,
what you need. Yes.
Yeah. But I thought it was so interesting because you cannot join the EU, and I can understand why.
But we are EU citizens.
But you are EU citizens, so what is happening at the election is affecting...
We don't go to election.
No, you don't go, but the result of the election is...
It has a lot to do with us also.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's, for me, it was a big like, wow, the Faroe Islands, you are small, but in some way you are connected to... Yeah, everything and a whole lot of countries in Europe, but you're not a part of it.
Mm-hmm.
So that's really interesting.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Of course, you can't be abandoned in the middle of nowhere.
No.
It's not a possibility.
No. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So and we have always had a connection with other countries. In the old days, we had pirates.
Yes.
From Turkey, we know that there have been pirates from Turkey, from Spain, from France. So we are interconnected.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Always have been.
And always have been.
Yeah. Yeah.
Of some of them, we have been afraid because they were pirates and they took people away.
Yeah.
And we never saw them again.
Yeah, so that's also...
So we know that they have been doing that. And we even have holes up in the mountains that we call... We have just one over here. We call it the French hole because people went up from... They left the village and went up the mountains to hide themselves.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah. And the children.
Yeah.
Yeah. And left the old ones at home.
When the French people were coming.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah.
Yeah, when ships were coming, yes, yes, yes. So,
Well, you can imagine I had a really interesting...
You had to read the novel Barbara.
Okay.
By Jürgen Franz Jacobsen.
Okay.
Yeah. There you can have the history of a widow.
Okay.
Her husband was a priest, and she has been married. I think there were three priests.
Yeah.
Something like that. And she goes to Tórshavn to buy. She is from Vágoy, from Sandavágoy, where you were in.
Yeah.
Yeah. And she goes to the one store there is and we hear about her and her life.
Okay.
Yeah. And there is a friendship.
Okay.
And there is a party going on.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. Yes.
Thank you for the tip.
Yeah. Yeah.
And can you maybe tell us a little bit about your own childhood and growing up?
Yeah. Yeah.
At the Fæðra?
I was brought up in Tórshavn. And youngest of three.
That's Tórshavn is the
main city. Yes, yeah. Yes. And my father was Danish. He came here when Denmark was occupied with by the Nazis.
Oh, yeah,
In May 1940, he was with a Danish ship from Gdynia in Poland to New York, and they seek a safe haven. And went into Tórshavn and he met my mom.
Oh, wow.
So my father came from Denmark and he was stuck up here for 5 years.
Yeah.
Because
of the war.
Because of the war.
Yeah.
And he stayed. So I was brought up with a Danish father and mom. And my mother was from Mykines, a very small island. And she was from a poor family. They were five kids. And their father drowned. Just outside the coast of Mykines, and he had what you call it in English when you have boots, of water.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know the word.
Regelaarzen.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And water came in, and he was drowned.
Oh, he was pulled down.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. And there was a father and a son in the boat, and they swam into the cliffs and climbed up. And I was with my mother in Mykines to visit my aunt, and I was about 6 years old.
Mm-hmm.
And we were visiting a man, he was in his 90s, and he said to me, "Little girl, come with me in the dining room." And he told me the story, because he was in the boat.
He was in the boat.
It's his son.
Yeah.
And he told me that they had no nails when they came up.
Oh, because of the cliffs.
Yeah. It was so wet and cold. And And they have to... and he told me... He asked God when they were out on the small island... that if he allowed them to come home to the village, he will never let my grandmother sit alone with five kids and where she didn't have anything to eat.
Yeah.
So every time he was fishing, of course he had to go again out and fish because they had to have something to eat. And he was, we call it fleya fuklar, that is that you go out in the cliffs and you have
the net
and you cut
for the birds.
Yeah. And you cut puffins and other sea birds.
Yeah.
And every time he went home to the village again, when he has been out in the cliffs, he laid something before my grandmother's
door. He took care of her in that way.
Yes.
Yeah. Yes. That's me and Vincent visited the island, and nowadays there are living 8 people still.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
It's become really small.
Yeah, yeah.
And they told us that one of the reasons the population is getting so small also has to do with the grief and the loss, because a lot of people have lost someone on the sea.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah.
Yeah, there was in the early 30s, in 32, there was a ship, we we call them sloepen. They were bought from United Kingdom, from Scotland, from Shetland Island, and they had no motors. So the men went out up to Iceland early every year in February, March, and to fish. And they had these sails, mm-hmm. yes. And sometimes they came home because the wind was there. Sometimes they went up to Iceland again
yeah.
and home again. And they lost, in such a ship, they lost about 14 men in Mykines. It was fathers, and there was sons, and there were brothers. So a lot of the families thought there is nothing here for us to do anymore.
No, there was too much.
My grandmother always said Mykines is just, it's the same as death.
Ah, well, yeah. Yes.
She didn't want to be buried there.
No.
It was grief and death. But the other side of the story is also that at that time, it was possible for people in the Faroes to go to bigger places and work and get money for the work. In Mykines, you didn't have any. You were doing your own potatoes. You were having a cow in the basement.
Yeah, you didn't get money. It was for yourself.
It was a natural economy.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then the man went out fishing early every, what do you call that? It's not summer. It's before summer. It is
spring.
Spring. Yeah. Every spring they went up to Iceland. Huh? And maybe some of them had a shop. Or somebody were having the post, and some had a telephone, and some of them had the lighthouse, and they got a little bit of money.
Yeah,
they could make a little bit.
Yeah,
but not much.
Yeah, yeah. And that's because we were talking about it, that the Faroe Islands in the last decades, but also in the last few years, had a lot of changes.
A lot of changes,
yeah,
yes.
Because
yes.
This story, what you're telling us about is so different than the situation now.
Yeah,
And you also told me that one of the changes are actually the tourists,
mm-hmm.
people like me.
Yes.
Because they are coming now in,
In bigger
amounts.
Yeah.
What is your view on that?
I think it's okay. But it don't have to be like Iceland.
Yeah.
Yeah, a million persons are coming every year. I don't like that.
Yeah.
I think it's if it is nature lovers who comes, and we should have to regulate it. Yeah, we have to regulate it. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Of course, we have to do that.
Because I heard some people from the Faroe, they told us that tourists are coming and they trapping all the grass, so the sheep cannot eat it anymore and that kind of things. And
I think also it's our own problem.
Yeah,
because we have to do regulations too.
Yeah.
But it's also new for us.
Yeah,
it's also new for all politicians.
Yeah.
And you know, we are living in a democracy and we are talking discussing and but it has just been, there's a new law now. It was released about 3 weeks ago.
Oh, really?
Yes. About walking out in the mountains and where people are allowed to go and where not.
Ah, okay.
So
probably there are also coming signs then where you can't can walk.
Yeah, and the islands are very small, you know. It's not a big country.
No.
It takes 1 hour to drive from one end to the other end.
Yeah, so there's a limit on much people it can have. Yeah, and there are more sheep here than people, and I think that's...
Yeah, we are about 55,000 people and 70,000 sheep.
Yeah, yeah, and it has to stay that way.
Yeah, and it's almost like in India where the cows are walking everywhere.
Yeah, because when you're driving, you have to be careful.
Yeah, all the time.
If there's a sheep coming in front of your car, especially me, because I told you I'm not very experienced with the driving. and the last thing I wanted to talk about is your shop.
Yeah.
Can you tell me something about
yes.
your project?
Yes. Yes, I am. I was thinking about what should I do after I am 67. Of course, I could take shifts in and things like that. But I was thinking about what is making me happy.
Yeah.
And knitting has always made me happy, because I have been knitting since I was 5 years old, and I am an autodidact knitter, and the most of the women here are autodidact knitters. That means that we are. My mom, she didn't knit with recipe.
Yeah.
She was thinking about, oh, how are you looking? How yeah. high are you? How should we shape
yeah.
This sweater for you? Yes. And that was what the woman who was here was telling me about, that she was shaping a sweater for her daughter.
Mm-hmm.
And she was very proud, because it is for our national costume. So it is shaped like a time glass.
Okay.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. So, but I have been using knitting recipes, like something that I use. Oh, how many stitches, and how should I? Okay. And then I made my own.
Yeah.
We always made our own.
Yeah.
And we know that we have been knitting since 1657 here in the islands. And we are knitting like what we call Fair Isle knitting. It is knitting with colors. So you knit with two or three colors, different colors. And mainly we knit sweaters. And we can knit socks, hats, all
everything,
things. Everything.
Yeah.
We can knit everything.
You also are, at the moment, you are colouring the
yeah.
wool yourself.
Yes.
With plants from the
yeah.
island.
Yes.
Yeah.
I was at a course for 40 years ago in Sandoy for a week, and we were colouring. And I was in education. I had kids. And
yeah,
I
your
didn't
whole
have
life.
Time. I didn't have time for anything. But now I got back to that. I buy Faroese wool and I make it ready for dyeing. And I go out and pick plants, and I have friends who go out and pick plants. And my freezer was full of plants this
yeah.
winter. So during the winter, I have been, here alone, dyeing and having fun. And then I have knitting club, knitting evenings also for people. But sometimes it's stormy and they can't come, and I have to, yeah, say, oh, sorry, maybe in 2 weeks, maybe when the weather gets better.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
The stuff you are selling here, it's not only from you.
No. No, I have been working with people all my life, and I have a lot of colleagues who are selling their knitting in the shop, and I do my things, and I create also things that other women are knitting for me. So it is a samsuoyum.
A collaboration.
Yeah, collaboration
yeah.
Of different, yes, different
yeah.
And we also do recycling. We do recycling from old sweaters that we make gloves of, and we want to make tea hats, and yes. And even a friend of mine, she is recycling yarn also. So every time that something is finished, we cut the ends, and I put the end in a bag for her, and then she get everything. So we try to use every inch.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. And
yes.
I think that's also a really particular thing here for the islands, that
yes.
you recycle and you
yes.
use everything that's possible. You
everything.
You'll use also
yeah.
from the sheeps and
yeah.
Yeah.
And that is the way my mom told me that they were living and surviving also.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, they had
because
to.
They had to do it.
Yeah.
Yes. They had to do it. Yes.
Yeah.
And we are I think we are, in this time, we are going a little bit back again. When kids here, young people here go to music festivals, we have a lot of music festivals here in the islands in the summer. And the hottest thing you can have put on you is a Faroese sweater.
Yeah.
Yeah. And we have them, they are handmade, so they're no machine made. And it is the old pattern that we have. We even have a book with old patterns here.
Yeah.
That was released in 1932. So we use the patterns. We use all our old patterns.
Yes. Yeah, that's really a tradition.
Yes. Yeah. Yes.
I think the Faroes are really good at traditions.
Yes.
And keeping them alive.
Yeah. And being proud of your traditions. Yes. Yeah. That tradition is something positive, not negative.
But why do you think that is?
I think when I was a young, I had this feeling that everything that was tradition, oh, it's old. Oh, mom, keep quiet. Oh, it was all the new, all that was in Denmark that was interesting. Huh? But I think when I went home again, I discover also, but also by my studies, I discover what is special here. There is very many things that are special here.
Yeah. So different actually, you had to go away
to see
how special.
Yeah, but that is the old story. You always have to go away to see what you have at home.
Yeah,
and also to see that it is something good.
Yeah.
Also.
Yeah. And the last thing I wanted to say is that I think it's really nice that all the things you are selling here have the names on it from the people who make it.
Of course.
Yeah.
Of course. Yes. Yes. Yeah. Yes. And we are about 40 knitters, women, but men also knit here, but they don't say it loud anymore. When my mom was a kid, it was normal that men were knitting.
Oh.
And my granddaughter's grandfather, he can knit.
Yeah.
But he is not knitting now. So, but men, I know of men who are knitting here still.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But they just don't tell.
Yeah. But we have two men who are carving wood here also. And it is not, you know... We are so happy when a tree is growing here because the sheep eat everything, even the roots of the trees.
Yeah.
So we have to have fence around every garden.
Yeah.
Because they jump over 1.5 meter and they eat everything.
Yeah, because the goats here aren't like how we are used to it in Holland.
No, no.
There are, more wild, like everything on this island. Yeah.
Yes, yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah,
and in February, March, when they see something green in a garden, they try to get in.
Oh yeah,
yeah,
yeah. Yeah.
So that's because we have fences around every garden.
Yeah, here. I can see.
Yes. Yeah.
And is there anything you would like to tell before we end this up?
No, I think it has been very nice to meet you.
Yeah,
we had a lovely time on Sunday.
Yeah.
So. Yeah, hope to see you again.
Yeah, me too. Well, thank you. Yeah. And the last thing I want to say is that Susanna was knitting all the time in this conversation.
Yeah. So I have to knit a hat now because I am knitting a sweater and I am under the arm here, the armhole.
Armhole?
Yes, yeah. And I have to put it in the front and back and I have to be quiet and not...
So we're going to stop talking now.
Yeah, yeah.
And thank you all for listening.
Okay, bye.